Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this show on AFR. Tim, Wesley, Ray, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Morning, everybody.
So, how's life?
Life is good. Life is good right here in Mississippi. We're having a good time. A lot of news to cover, so not a dull moment.
How did you, by the way, I'm just curious, yeah. You've lived all over, you've lived in Madagascar, right?
Yep.
Then you lived, you grew up in Northern California.
Yep.
Then you lived in the Los Angeles area, right?
I went to school in LA, yep.
Then you lived in Colorado.
15 years.
Where else?
I feel like at this point you're making this up.
Well,
I was born in Portland.
I just wanted to say to Steve that ICE is waiting for you.
That's right.
And they're right outside our building here.
I doubt it.
Because you just, anyway, you immigrated to here from Madagascar, and I don't think you did it right.
I might not so have.
They want to talk to you.
Take up with my
I say that to ask you this question. Where else, by the way, was there?
I went to school. I was born in Portland, Oregon, and went to seminary up there in Portland, Oregon.
So the humidity in the South is well known in the summertime. And so how have you, I know you work inside.
Yeah.
But how did you notice that or anything?
I'd been in humidity.
In Madagascar?
No, Madagascar was, Tananarive, the capital city, is in the tropics. It's above the Tropic of Capricorn. Yeah. So it has a rainy season. It's like a tropical country. The humidity, my story with the humidity is my kids, we went and took them to Disney World one time. And we were in Colorado.
Orlando or Anaheim?
Orlando, Disney World, yeah. And Colorado has almost no humidity. It's dry, dry, dry up there, which makes the cold not as cold.
Like the Mountain West. Most of the Mountain West is like that, right?
Yeah. And so when we got off the plane, we're in the airport and everything, we walked to the doors that lead out of the airport to the place outside where you pick up the passengers.
Yeah.
The doors open. My kids take half a step out there and they stop. What in the world is this? They've never been in that kind of humidity before. But it's a little different. It's okay.
Yeah.
I like being inside.
All right. What's your first story?
All right. I know you guys talked an awful lot about the LA riots and everything, and I just want to bring this up. We can chalk this up to the way the media is covering the riots, okay? I'll just throw this out here, and then we can move on to something else. But local news anchor Jory Rand, Jory, J-O-R-Y, Rand, R-A-N-D, he works with ABC News 7 in L.A., and he's one of these people that thinks that bringing the police in, the National Guard in, the troops in, that's not a good thing. Because, well, I'll let you listen. Cut 16.
Large group of people. It could turn very volatile if you move law enforcement in there in the wrong way and turn what is just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn into a massive confrontation and altercation between officers and demonstrators.
Yeah, the altercation comes when you bring the police in.
Well, that's kind of what, right? One of those things where you go to a person, are you hearing yourself?
That's right.
Let's go out and have some fun watching cars burn, right?
Hey, as a part of the riots on Saturday, speaking of this, some of the protesters called or ordered, however you say it, driverless vehicles.
Yeah. Waymo.
Which were going to serve as taxi service under legitimate purposes.
Correct.
And then they called them to the area where they were, and they set them aflame.
Yep.
Right, Steve? Did you hear about this?
Some of these cars were over $100,000 cars. These are driverless cars. In fact, I saw one figure that said they're up to $500,000. I have a hard time believing the car would be $500,000, but very expensive. They're completely driverless, so they have all the technology. They're nice cars because they're and I think they're electric. But, yeah, the protesters, the rioters called a taxi, basically, and this taxi comes, and then they set it on fire.
I just don't, the rioting aside, I don't think, Ray, I could get in a car that pulls up without a driver.
Without a driver, right?
Have you ever done that, Steve?
No, I've never been in one.
Where are they? Are they in other places besides Los Angeles? What's the name of the company?
Waymo. It's Waymo fun to drive into one of those.
So they
apparently it's Waymo fun.
Have you ever seen this before, Ray?
Never seen it. I don't think I've ever heard of it. But this is kind of crazy. So the rioters were calling for these Waymo cabs, which don't have any drivers.
Yes.
When they show up, then they're setting them
on fire. And they finally, the Waymo company stopped sending them because they realized, you know, after two or three cars explode,
we're losing our fleet here, right?
We got a lot of cars that aren't coming back.
Right.
They're going to the same area. Wonder what's happening, Bill.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Waymo cars right now. The technology that they have on here, I can see that these cars being a couple $100,000 for sure.
Yeah, well.
Current cities, Phoenix, San Francisco, L.A., and Austin.
They're basically
coming soon, Atlanta and Miami. Yeah, and Tupelo. No.
They're computer controlled cars.
Yep. AI is amazing.
Driverless. Well, would you get in one, Steve?
I'd have a hard time. I don't know.
From the awkwardness or the
But if you order one, you know it is already.
Yeah. I wonder if they're actually available for like purchase by a.
Can you wave one down?
Oh, I don't know. I think you order one with an app. They don't drive around.
One down.
Huh? They don't drive around.
Good question.
Yeah, they're not designed for.
If a person's waving one down, they're not going to be the same person using it.
Do they have a little sign on top?
No, but they have like four different layers of cameras and video footage.
You know how you wave down a cab? Yeah. I just didn't know if you could.
They're
do
not
that.
Driving around the street empty. They're in a garage somewhere. You ordered.
All right, guys, let's get back to the clip here. The clip said that the police officers and the military showing up to enforce law would cause chaos.
That's the problem.
So they're showing up.
That's what the liberals say.
Yeah.
That bringing in law enforcement only
inflames
or escalates the situation. Listen, I would be fine with that argument if this were done in a vacuum, and if the law enforcement support, like the National Guard or riot police, were brought in, and they weren't already provoked to be there for a reason. The reason they're there is to protect the ICE agents,
right,
from being pummeled.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be near. They wouldn't be called out. So the lefties don't mention that.
No, right.
They don't mention that. Well, or they would say, ICE is our thugs, and they don't need to be there in the first place, and we don't need to enforce our immigration laws. Because we don't believe in immigration laws because they're immoral, just like they don't believe in borders.
Right.
So that's the thinking on the far left, anyway.
But the irony here, there's already an escalation, which is why we're coming.
Right. Next story, Steve.
All right. Hey, good news. The U.S. Army has met its annual recruiting target of 61,000 new recruits in the first week of June. That's 4 months ahead of schedule. It had failed to meet its recruiting goals in 22 and 23, and it had struggled for years to meet recruiting goals. And so what's the change? Well, the U.S. Army is focused on lethality, taking care of soldiers, transforming a dangerous future for young people across the country that want to be part of the Army. And Donald Trump and Secretary Pete Hegseth have attributed the change in attitude brought by the Trump administration's end of policies promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I have to say, if Democrats are looking at how to appeal to young men, they might want to ask Pete Hegseth. Although they won't.
This is a small sample of that. A couple weeks ago, I was in Washington, D.C., and I went, while I was there on work, I was able to go to one of the Washington Nationals baseball game. And from the time I walked up to the time I left, right and left, there was a lot of support for the Army. There was a lot of sign-up booths, and they had a video that they played in support. They
were trying to recruit.
They were recruiting. They had these large military vehicles. And this is something that I haven't seen in a long time as it relates to trying to recruit. And they were recruiting like you were just describing. And it was a really patriotic and cool feeling to be at a Washington National game and see that their stadium and their support was for recruiting for the Army. And they made it out to be like you did, like protecting the country. There was no LGBT, no woke stuff in their advertisement, but it was like manhood.
This is very simple.
Very simple.
Ray, this is very simple. Under Biden, they tried to turn the United States military into this
woke experiment.
DEI woke,
right.
Woke program, and the men, in particular men, the young boys, I say young boys, not 12, I'm talking about eligible, age eligible to enter the armed forces, the numbers dove. They took a drastic decline. None of the armed services branches were meeting their required numbers. Maybe the Marines, I'm not sure. But then when President Trump was elected, new commander-in-chief, get rid of all the woke policies, then the numbers of recruits skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm. Basically. And I don't think we should be surprised,
right,
because the Army is a fighting force. It's there to defend freedom in America and around the world. And if you fill your army with, quote, drag queens,
right,
so to speak,
right,
don't be surprised when you can't produce a George, right, S. Patton. If you want a General Patton, you got to get these other guys out of the Army. And I think what's happening now under Mr. Trump and Pete Hegseth, we're getting the Army back to what it was always meant to be.
Yes. Yeah,
amen.
For one, Wesley, may I just say I'm glad you actually came back instead of joining the Army.
The Army, yeah,
there,
yeah.
Because I know it must have been tempting.
Yeah. It was. It was inspiring, man. I walked up and I was like, what is this tank doing here right in the middle of the
entrance? What they were doing? Yeah, they were advertising for the Army.
Yeah, and they had a booth set up. Once you got closer,
yeah,
you saw what was going on, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
All right. This is something that's in the Big Beautiful Bill, and a lot of people aren't talking about it, but the Trump administration is announcing what they're calling Trump savings accounts, and Donald Trump himself is actually going to explain it to us. Cut 13.
Here is how the accounts work. For every U.S. citizen born after December 31st, 2024, before January 1st, 2029, the federal government will make a one-time contribution of $1,000 into a tax-deferred account that will track the overall stock market. In other words, it'll be pegged to an index that we'll pick. Right, Michael? We'll pick it. We'll pick a good one. These accounts will be private property controlled by the child's guardians, and in many cases, those guardians will be the parents. We think probably the parents will be the guardians. They'll be open for additional private contributions each year from family, friends, parents, employers, churches, private foundations, and more. This is a pro-family initiative that will help millions of Americans harness the strength of our economy to lift up the next generation, and they'll really be getting a big jump on life, especially if we get a little bit lucky with some of the numbers and the economies into the future.
$1,000, and you're automatically enrolled when you're born. You don't have to apply for it. You can start withdrawing. You can take up to 50% at age 18. You have access to the full balance at age 25 for qualified purposes. If you want a small business loan or higher education, you get full control of it for any purpose at age 30.
Wow.
And you can contribute. Parents and others can contribute up to $5,000 a year tax-free.
Now, is this part of – this is not part of the Big Beautiful Bill.
It is part of the Big Beautiful Bill, yeah.
Cool. I like that.
Well, this is – yeah, this is the beautiful part of the Big Beautiful Bill.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, that's – so when does that start?
I think he said it's going to start January 1, 2025. Well, if you were born this year, January 1, 2025, when the bill passes, it's retroactive to the January 1st of this year.
Listen, I like the idea. The concept's good. Seems to me the bookkeeping nightmare here would be, or could be, a nightmare.
Well, you already have like a health savings account that you can set up. Certainly, the
every child born in the U.S. will get $1,000.
Every child born in the U.S. will have an account set up for them for $1,000.
All right.
Every citizen. Now, there's that whole argument about birthright,
and it's invested in the stock market.
It is pegged to the stock market, yeah. So I don't know if that's the same thing as invested in, but as the stock market goes up,
so Peg is in charge of it.
Peg is in charge of it, yes. Aaron DeSantis, she's pretty good.
Is she a stockbroker?
She's good with money. I'll say
Peggy short for Peg. Peg is short for Peggy.
Are
right?
we missing each other?
Peg. No, I was trying to help. What I'm hearing, the drawback, what people are saying why this might not be a good idea is because with any federal program, you can never, I don't know, he sunsets it in 2029. I think that's just because of the function of the bill. But it will almost certainly be re-upped and increased. And so people are worried with a country that's already way over its head in debt that we're going to start giving
money. I think the Democrats will want to include illegal aliens.
Well,
this equation.
They might, but it's not the way the bill's written.
Okay. Just
saying.
That wouldn't be surprising to me if they didn't come out in favor of that. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Hey, did you get that AT&T story there? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
I don't.
AT&T, for those who subscribe to AT&T.
Oh, the social security numbers?
Well, they had a major data break.
Yeah. I did see that.
Every day's a new data breach for the world and our country. Anyway, I didn't know if you had...
I read it this morning. I didn't bring it in, but yeah, according to the internet, which is never wrong, they've recently experienced major data breaches compromising the personal information of millions of customers. There's a website you can go to if you're an AT&T customer. You go to this website, you can put your name and city and date of birth, and it will tell you, it'll tell you if you are have the potential to be compromised, and then it'll try to sell you a solution. So take that for what it's worth.
Well, this says that this, according to Yahoo Tech, Ray, did you hear about this?
Yeah, and I checked up on it. I found some of my stuff is in there in that breach. But it's exactly what you said, Steve, that it's on a website where it says, yeah, some of your stuff's in there, and pay us some money and we'll fix this for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Well, surprise.
What now? So you have a data breach. Is especially a company the size of AT&T is usually they are victimized by a cyber criminal big outfit, right?
Here's the details. The stolen data was posted to a Russian cybercrime forum on June 3rd. The file contains the full names, birth dates, phone numbers, email addresses, home addresses, and 44 million social security numbers in plain text. So you can go to this website, and I can't, I don't remember it. I don't even know if we want to send people there. It's a sales thing, but you put your name
that's,
in.
That's the one that I went
to. Yeah, yeah, me too.
Well, people can research it for themselves. You just type in AT&T data breach. Here's the thing that I was talking to one of our other staff here, Ray, I and Stephen, I don't understand how a company as large, for example, as AT&T, and they're not the only ones. I mean, this happens on a regular basis. Don't have enough money to secure their own data without it being. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is going to be a problem. And so it used to be that with 44 million. Social security numbers get out, Ray. You say, well, what's the chance that they're going to pick my little, $4,000 savings account? Who cares?
Right.
The kind of anonymity in numbers. AI is changing that whole thing. AI can pick everybody's pocket at once. And
thank
the other
you,
thing
Steve,
about
for that encouraging word.
Well, it gets better because not only will AI, when they get into quantum computing, I was reading this the other day. Quantum. Did I say this on the air? I think we might have talked about it.
I don't think so.
They've got a new quantum computer that can solve a problem in 10 minutes that would take Big Blue's supercomputer 7 trillion years to solve.
Yeah, this is like Marvel stuff.
It is. And so with that much computing power, they say that there's going to be no more security. There's no lock you can put on your savings account or your AT&T can put on their passwords. There's no encryption that can't break in seconds.
So then we can
start growing my own vegetables.
I think that's what you better do.
So that bury my phone.
They might not have an address in your mattress.
Start walking everywhere. do away with.
Isn't it?
I don't even want to get in a smart car anymore. Go ahead.
Anything that's online is vulnerable at some point. Anything.
Well,
any data that's online is.
Well, especially when they have vulnerable. If the bad guys get your Social Security number. I mean, this according to this report, 86 million AT&T customer records have been leaked, including full names, date of birth, phone numbers, email addresses, physical addresses, and Social Security numbers. What more do you need to take out a loan?
Yeah, right.
I mean,
right.
I guess you do. What you do need to do, and everyone listening here, is these credit services. What do you call them? You know what I'm talking about?
It's not credit service. You're talking about VPNs?
No, the credit services that there's three major ones that people subscribe to. When you go, if you go to get a loan for a car or a house,
Equifax, TransUnion,
yes, those
credit scores.
Yeah, right. They said you need to lock those down, whatever that means. Shut them off or freeze them. So that again, we're probably overreacting here, but still,
I doubt it.
I don't think what we just suggested is an overreaction. I'm just saying that, you know, every week is a new big corporation data leak. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. this will be interesting to y'all. Some archaeologists have been rooting around in Egypt, and they have found some the Egyptian technology was a lot more exquisite than we thought. In fact, you might not know this, but Egyptians were the first ones to invent social media.
Are you calling them Egyptians, Steve?
Egyptians.
Okay.
And in
Welcome
fact,
to
so
the
they,
South,
they have uncovered new data. I want you to hear this. They have found Moses and Aaron, when they were going to see Pharaoh, decided to live stream the event.
Really?
And
no
yeah,
way.
Yeah, we found
no
that. We have found that. Yes, we have found the video. Cut 15.
Guys, me and Aaron just got inside the palace. We're about to ask Pharaoh to let our people go. No idea how this is going to go, but wish us luck. Okay, we just left the meeting. We asked. He laughed. Said no one's going anywhere. Anyway, the fight goes on.
Pharaoh, if you're watching this is your last chance. Let the people go, or it's going to rain, hail, frogs, whatever.
Hashtag let my people go.
He let us go, then changed his mind. Now he's sending soldiers. We're literally running to the sea right now. We just got here, sea in front. Army behind, no way out. Everyone's freaking out. Let's see what God tells us to do. Guys, the sea literally opened up. I'll explain later. We're walking through now. And no, this path isn't on Google Maps. All right, guys, we made it. Seal's behind us, Pharaoh's not. Don't forget to like, comment, and maybe bring sandals next time.
Yeah, so...
Who did this?
That's
archaeologists.
Pretty good.
No, yeah. Right. That's funny.
That sounds like Babylon Bee stuff.
Yeah, it does.
No, it's AI stuff. Actually, there's a video that goes with it. It's really good.
Where'd you see this?
My Twitter feed has all kinds of weird stuff going on.
Oh, my word.
Twitter feed. You got all kind of.
Okay.
That's the answer I was looking for, too.
All right. Well, there's the music. Probably a good thing. All right. Thank you for listening, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Appreciate Steve.
My pleasure.
Wesley Ray, Chris Woodward, Brent Creeley, our producer, and Sandy Rios joined us, too. Have a great day, everybody. See you back here tomorrow.